Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Welcome to the Lousy Wrestling Podcast, the shittiest wrestling podcast in America, only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here's the show.
Hell yeah. Lousy Wrestling Podcast. What episode is it, Derek? 40?
40.
It's a new era. It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're not Big E.
You don't think I'm Big E?
No.
Clap. Booty.
Please stop moving like that.
So anyway.
No, Sean. It's pretty funny. Just stop. I'm doing the eye bulge and everything. Just stop.
We're starting a new era of Lousy Wrestling Podcast with this episode, where instead of focusing so much on current content, because you can only talk about that so much, basically.
Yeah.
I guess you can only talk about old content so much, too. That's a bad way to put it. Instead of...
especially the old content.
Okay, here's legitimately what was happening to me. I was dying watching the current content. Pretty much for, like, I was dying.
There for all the...
Like, we made it through Mania fine. That was fun. But there was, like, some weeks there in February or so.
There was only 10% of good wrestling.
And
good stories and stuff like that.
I wanted to be like, I am done. Like, I'm done. Like, I want to watch... If it's bad wrestling, I kind of want to watch an old show that's bad so I can laugh and be nostalgic or whatever about it. If I'm sitting there being forced into a
live
3 hour
new shitty
Raw,
wrestling,
just holy shit. So, but we made it through some of it, so it was good. We're still gonna watch current product.
We got
we're
the good shit out of it. About, I mean, we got Chris Jericho, and
we're still gonna watch current product and talk about it. But
at least for me.
Yeah, so the way the show's going to work now is we're going to spend up front talking about our couple favorite hits and misses, as we've always done, of Raw and SmackDown.
No more full review.
Yeah, and so we're going to lay off the whole full... It's going to be just kind of, did you see this? Yeah, that was awesome. This was awesome. And then we're going to move on. And then we'll do the full review portion about classic content. And we did a poll this week on Twitter, and I purposely was like, let's pick something soft to get our feet wet. Let's pick like 3 hour long shows to vote between.
Please keep them hour shows.
I was like, I just wanted something small to get our feet wet. Well, I'm sure that like we'll do like Mania 15 one day and like shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's different than you making me watch a fucking 3 hour Nitro from 95.
Well, that's gonna happen too. You know
like
what I mean?
Special edition Nitro.
Three hour Nitro. Worst Nitro ever. Yeah, 3 hour Nitro 98. That's probably gonna... Raw Super Shows from 2011. We'll get into some of this.
Possibly wrestling I've never seen before.
Yeah, we will get into some of this. So,
yeah, remember, 7 year gap for me.
So yeah, I picked three poll topics. It was WWF Saturday Night Main Event from February 8th, 1992. Smoky Mountain's debut program, the pilot, if you will.
Correct.
From February 1st, 1992. And then I also picked... WCW. I picked the television show Pro because everybody knows WCW Saturday Night, but WCW Pro was killing it on Saturdays too at the same time. So in syndication.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let's pick the syndicated program. And I actually had watched like the opening 5 minutes to all of them to make sure they were on YouTube and it was good quality, you know, sans the Saturday Night Main Event because that's on the network. But, when watching the opening 5 minutes of them, WCW Pro was the one I actually was like, I kind of want to watch this. Like, this
is
the best one.
I'm surprised you didn't find out how to order the votes.
No.
I really want this one, guys.
Saturday Night Main Event from February 8th, 1992. Fucking blew everybody away, and that became our pick, and that's the show we're going to review later. And that's why I was listening to this theme when we started.
I thought we should at least open with the cheesy. Bzzz. This is with the, you know, the shock rod.
Oh, the shock effects.
Can we open with the segment with that?
You're selling out the review right now. The shock. We'll do shock. So I'll get it. Don't worry. I'll get it. Perfect. But anyway, so yeah, this song though, this was the theme song to it, and it kind of reminds me of like some weird WCW. I feel like Nitro used this like 4 or 5 years later, or it was at least in like. It was at least
Bash at the Beach music.
I was
That's
gonna,
what it sounds like to
I was
me.
Gonna say WCW NWO Revenge, like video game, like
turn it up
menu
a little
screen.
Bit more, it definitely sounds like an opening to a video game screen, like
so
possibly.
Anyway. Okay. So Saturday Night Main Event review is coming later in the show. Right now we're gonna talk about Monday Night Raw and stuff. But before that I did bring Jordan Patrick, El Hordano Diablo from Let the Hate Flow Through You, or one of our sister podcasts.
Correct.
Or brother podcasts, I should say, since we're all men. Brought him to Akron for a couple days and sat and watched a bunch of wrestling. And I've probably slept like maybe just under 10 full hours in the past, like fucking 72, you know what I mean? So I'm a little asleep.
So you didn't drink a beer before this?
No, I actually didn't. I thought about
it. So this is going to be like one of our weaker shows.
Where I'm just kind of going.
You go from Trip Bradshaw to fucking Eeyore in this motherfucker.
Hi, guys. I'm all right. That's why I wanted to record early, was because I was like, so I got a little. Me and Jordan made sure to go hard in the paint, as they say in 2007, or get lit, as they say nowadays.
Okay.
And, it was like till 6:30
in
the
morning. So you were with the Usos in the paint, right?
Yeah, we were with the Usos in the paint, and we were ooh-wah-ooh-ing. But, yeah, it was fun. Got drunk and watched a lot of wrestling. He made me watch the Jericho debut about 10 times.
His WWE debut.
He'd be like, he'd be like, oh, have you seen something cool? Here, check this out. And he'd turn on the Jericho debut and shit, the 1999 one. And I was like, his Save Us debut was dope too. And he was like, what, the last one? It was cool. And I was like, no. The Save Us debut. That was one of my favorites in 2008 when he re-debuted then. Save Us Y2J promos. And then launched with a clock the same way, and he came out.
And fucking, didn't that and escalate got, to the Chris Jericho Shawn Michaels feud?
Eventually, right? Like a little less than a year down the road. But so anyway, let's talk some wrestling this week. We both said we watched Raw and SmackDown.
I know I did. You're saying you did, but I don't know if you did.
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes this is what happens, man. I pick up a cell phone.
We'll sit down the fucking cell phone.
And I just don't fucking hear any more of the show. That happened to me with the Saturday Night Main Event. I started it once, and I watched the first match, and I pick up my phone and not put my phone back down until the show was over.
See, I find myself
would look up, and all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, shit, I'm in November 92 now. I watched the November 92 episode more than I watched the February episode because I kept fucking like picking my phone up, and by the time I'd look back up, it would be November on the goddamn TV. Anyway, so a couple of my highlight hits from Raw. I loved Jericho's promo and the Drifter walking through.
Dude, that was fucking awesome.
And me and Jordan were watching Daffy it.
Fucking, what did he call him?
Me and Jordan were watching it earlier, and he does like the Looney Tunes, like, your name's Tom, and he's like, no, Mike, and he's like, Tom,
got
Mike,
him to call
Tom, Mike, and then he's
Tom.
Like, Mike, and he goes, Tom, and he's like, aha, Mike, Tom, and then, then the Drifter comes strolling through.
Daffy Drifter Dandy, dude, yeah, that had and, me dying.
And he was like, you know what, you just made the list.
Dude, he put Mike on the hook. He was like, dude, you're off the hook this time. This motherfucker.
Mike Tom, you're off the hook. I gotta put this fucking acoustic playing, dude, on this fucking shit. Yeah, I mean, at least they're making the Drifter play the guitar instead of just walking around with it like
holding
he did in NXT
like
for a while.
He finally learned how to play.
He did some lessons. They taught him a G chord, taught him an A chord, taught him an E chord.
Now he knows power chords.
Yeah. In a month. What else from Raw? Obviously the ring exploding, but we'll get there. So yeah, I'll say that was probably a cool highlight. You're watching Braun go crazy because they said, we want you to leave. We don't want you a part of the show. And Braun on Raw started just fucking attacking everybody.
Which was weird. Everyone's thanking him, and then all of a sudden he fucks Roman up, and they're like, we don't want you no more.
Fucking, they have R-Truth and Goldust are walking down the hallway, and they got fucking blindsided by Braun.
Yeah.
He gets into it with Kalisto, and he literally picks Kalisto up off the ground in like a crucifix hold, you know, across his chest. And then just picks him up and dumps him in a fucking dumpster.
Which leads to the dumpster match
this
Monday.
They announced today. This was pretty funny. Kayfabe News, you know that site? They're like the Onion for wrestling satire. They posted today that article, and they were like, sometimes we can take a day off because WWE writes the articles for us. And it was just kind of funny that Kalisto and Braun in a dumpster match. What the fuck? All right, but
that's definitely a big miss.
So that's
next review.
That's coming. That's coming this week. I don't know. They might be able to do it cool. I like Kalisto, but anyway. So Kalisto gets dumped in the thing.
Dude,
and then
it's Kalisto, Braun Strowman.
Who else did he hit? He took somebody else and threw him into a fucking cart. He slammed somebody else with a cart.
He was just fucking up everyone.
And then
Big Show finally got the
Big Show blindsided him out of nowhere and told him, pick on somebody your own size. And I think Braun even said, like, I'm not finished with you, like three times through all of that, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, which led to the match, Big Show, Braun, and it's like, oh hell yeah, like this could be fun. They wrestled not too long ago, right? Am I right that they had a match not that long ago on Raw? It was like the main event.
I don't think they did. I think it.
It was one of the best ones that have happened
the
past few weeks.
In my
we'll go
notes
through
and have to.
I feel like it was probably like, I want to say about 2 months ago or so, they did Braun and Big Show in a main event.
You might be right because I probably wrote the same thing I wrote when they wrestled.
It was like, because I remember me and you talking about it and it being like a classic WWF thing. Like having two big men collide.
Which was really good.
And it held the ratings past fucking 10 o'clock or whatever. And so
You're about 90% right.
Okay, so hopefully this ain't a spike fact.
Well, now the bell's in front of me, so now I got
Now you got the bell. So anyway, the obvious hit for me for the night is Braun Strowman and Big Show. We got to see them Braun superplexed Big Show and the ring collapsed and MVP of the week
was
referee,
his kneecaps for holding up.
I was going to say referee John Cone for taking the most ridiculous
bump
out of the ring.
I watched it 12
like,
times.
He never let go of the rope and he just like disappeared into oblivion when the ring
when they
broke.
Show the one view where they're closer to him on it'd be what the where the announce table used to be.
Yeah.
When they showed that view and his little tumble over, I'm like, God damn, that still step just fucked him up because that's all you've seen.
I want to be like, why did he stand so close to the
edge?
Because
he knew
like
the ring was going to explode.
Yeah, so fall out.
He jumped a little too early. Yeah. If you notice, when they first fall, he goes to like jump. Like it's going like he's expecting.
That's
it.
Probably what
it,
happened. Then the ring came
and
out.
Then
from
it
under
came
him.
Out from under him. If you watch it closely, like I said, I watched it 12
you know,
times.
You know, and it's weird because someone with a keen eye, like myself or whatever, is watching the show, going the whole show, going, this is a miss for me. Here we go. Why don't they have the LCD fucking plastic post covers? And
on
why don't
match?
They have the whole show? They didn't use them the whole night.
I noticed that. I thought it was a giveaway for the ring at the end.
When the ring That's why I said, I was like, something's fucking weird fishy tonight. And then, yeah,
it was the ring pose.
Then they fucking collapsed the ring. And it was just kind of funny. Like, they are at the point enough where they haven't been doing it long enough that the LCDs and shit, and it looked so kind of natural, like it had for so many years without it. It did. A lot of people didn't really notice it, but I started seeing it on Twitter early in
that was the first the thing episode. I noticed.
Yeah,
dude.
What's happening to this ring tonight? You know what I mean? Like,
because they didn't want to destroy their perfectly expensive
LED fucking lighting system. That's one of those things where if it was Paul Heyman booking that,
he'd been like, destroy that shit.
Me and
everything new next week.
And it would have happened in the second match.
Exactly.
The rest of the matches, all the matches would have had to have wrestled with a broken ring. That would have actually been
a challenge, because look how the ring fell and sat. Yeah. Like, it was like going up a mountain on the one corner.
Apparently that's all like hydraulic fucking just prop.
A system?
Yeah, hydraulic prop system make it, you know, like movie special effects though.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Do you have anything you want to point out that I didn't cover?
Pretty much my main hits, except for the.
You said it. You talked about it before Enzo. Go ahead and mention that.
No, not that. My main
I was
going to
say
was,
as a miss.
That was a big miss. Is
how little reaction they're getting now.
Enzo and Big Cass are like they were possibly their new champions, and then here comes the Hardys, and down the totem pole you go.
Yeah, then it's over.
And now you get no reaction, and everyone wants to leave.
Yeah.
But my big hit was actually the Samoa Joe-Chris Jericho match, because that actually finally solidified the whole Seth Rollins-Samoa Joe build.
You're completely right. Completely forgot about that match. Match of the night, obviously. And
match was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I was more focused on the way they were going, the
way he did the walls and then countered the walls again. Yeah, it was all fucking incredible. And then ended with the Coquina clutch.
Probably Joe's best match since he's came in.
And holy shit, Joe's looked good since his WWE.
He looked
return,
really good,
but
that
he,
night.
I mean, like body. Wise.
That's what I'm saying.
Body.
He looks
His body,
really good.
He looks like Joe in 2006 right now.
Yeah.
He is in that shape. He's in that shape.
He's as lean as he can be.
Yeah, where you're not sitting there going, oh, he's a fat ass. You're just like, he's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big,
you know,
bulky motherfucker.
Like, because there was times in TNA where you're like, this
I'm just glad they didn't give him a shitty gimmick.
Put a face tattoo
Do
on
something
him.
Stupid to him.
Make,
yeah.
him. Make him be a fire dancer like they did in TNA.
Yeah.
That's when he got fat. He was like, I hate my life and hate all
and
of this.
And just started binge eating to get fired.
Yeah, so he was like, so then he had a face tattoo, belly danced, and he was fat now. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, God. I was like, this is 2010, probably 2000. Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe was done to me then.
His career was done to me then.
And then,
like you said, we started painting his face.
They have this, and that was Vince Russo.
Hulk Hogan, bro,
we're going to make you a fire dancer, bro. But anyway, so.
We're going to make people chant, this is awesome.
In Samoa Joe, then I was just kind of like, well, I always liked him before, but now he's just fucking fat and dumb. And not anymore. Past 2 years has been a killer. Yeah, you're fucking with Samoa Joe. And it's good.
They're giving him a good run.
And then a miss for you was Enzo. We already said that about his reaction being kind of fucking toast. The crowd's kind of cold on him. And I think a lot of that has to do with losing.
Dude, I had a couple misses.
They lose a lot
on Monday because of that.
I think
another was the Miz TV, because now here we go with Ambrose and the Miz again that we just got from fucking SmackDown. Like, big missing. Like,
I thought when Maurice stood in front of him and started yelling at him was kind of funny.
I mean, it had its moments, but it's still SmackDown to me. I've seen this on SmackDown.
That's exactly what they're doing. Is they're taking all the SmackDown angles and just.
Packaging them on Raw. And
we said this two weeks ago or whenever the Superstar Shakeup was, that they literally just swapped mid cards, and now that's what we're dealing with. And then the next Raw pay per view is just full of SmackDown matches,
pretty much.
And even down to like SmackDown titles are being defended. You know what I mean? So anyway, we got SmackDown was just bad. There's not too much I can say about
that's
this.
Why
it
was good. I got a couple more hits
even
and misses on Raw
the,
because I don't
the
like SmackDown.
SmackDown the what is it, a six pack challenge they did for the number
I'm
one contender?
I'm tired of six pack challenges.
Yeah, me too.
It's what
much.
The fuck, like.
Okay, so yeah, it's all they book is six pack challenges. But anyway, so I thought the match was pretty fucking solid though.
The match was good.
18 minute
even though
match.
I hate it.
And I was even like, I've been impressed by Jinder on this run. You can attest to this. You can attest to me.
I told you last week if he.
I mean,
he
nothing.
Could have been a better heel.
Nothing
if they
like
the
we're watching right now, but you can attest to me saying this four or five. Hold up, let me finish the point. 4 or 5 weeks ago, when they teamed him with Rusev,
yeah,
and all that shit. I've been behind all that,
yeah,
since he
except
came
for
back,
him being teamed with Rusev.
Since he, since him coming back, I've been pretty much behind and a supporter of everything they've been doing with Jinder. They've been doing with Jinder, and that he's been doing. Is he a fucking incredible worker? No, not at all.
No,
will he ever be? Probably not. He's never gonna be Bret Hart.
Yeah,
and he's actually still kind of lightweight, bad at being the. Fucking
he's bad at being a heel.
The
that's
scary
all I'm saying.
Foreigner, you know.
Like,
what I mean, he's a
he could
bit
be
bad
a
at
really
it.
Good heel and be like one of their top heels because he is, you know, foreign and whatnot. And they could just push that whole foreign thing.
Did you watch Talking Smack while we're on Jinder?
No, but I can only imagine it was horrible.
So
don't ever let him talk on the mic.
He was on Talking Smack and he was cutting a promo and
ruined.
He just started
ruined.
And on Talking Smack, they're not scripted like they are on SmackDown. This is they, you know what I mean? It's Renee talking to people.
Yeah.
And the guys got to try their best to be in character and do their shit.
Yeah.
Jinder started calling. He was like, he said, "I am the new American Dream." And everybody kind of sat there and went,
I thought.
Yeah, everybody did. I mean, I just did a visual gag for you, but everybody's eyes went from the right to the left and then back like Adam. Like, what the fuck did he just say? Did we all just hear that he just called himself the American Dream? Like, and nobody said anything. They let him cut the promo, but then he left and Shane McMahon was like, "Ah, yeah, I'm not going to call him the new American Dream. That's not happening because of Dusty Rhodes." And they, like, he literally just said it on camera.
Big
like,
miss.
Like, it was, yeah, and it was weird because.
Never again on Talking Smack.
It makes you wonder, like, was that line fed to him? Or, because, you know what I mean? If it would have been fed to him and he said it, you would probably have had Renee or Shane afterwards be like, "The new American Dream. Wow, Jinder is really making a bold statement here on Talking Smack." You know what I mean? But instead, like, they just looked at each other and fucking Shane was just kind of like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that."
Did a double take. Like, nope.
But he, I mean, he waited for Jinder to leave.
That's
but,
fucked up.
But then he
but
was just like,
that's the wrestling business.
He was like,
you know, you got to wait for people to leave to talk,
in the back.
You know, to say something. Especially
yeah,
John
was,
Cena, you know.
Charlotte, too, on Talking Smack. Fucking awful. Charlotte literally, they would ask her a question and she'd be like, "Okay, I keep doing these visual
scripted.
I keep doing these visual gags." Got
to remember that.
Yeah. She would just like,
Raw Talk is scripted. Talking Smack is straight.
They'd be
shoe.
Like, they'd be like, "All right, Charlotte, how do you feel about like being here?" And then she would just stare at the camera for like a second, like with her mouth
what's
open, like, "Ah," and then she'd be like, "I'm the dirtiest player in the game," like, you know, and just start doing these, like,
she started being her dad. Like, what would my dad say, guys?
She's doing the little buzzwords, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Dirtiest player in the game, so on and so forth. I was like, oh, God, this is bad. Everybody on Talking Smack was pretty much bad. But anyway, SmackDown itself, too, bad. And we didn't really say it. We did say the match was good, but the least impressive part about the match was Jinder and he won.
My question is, did him fucking up Finn Balor's face give him that title push, or is it because
funny,
of India?
When
the deal with India,
yeah, there's multiple.
Like,
there's multiple
I'm
reasons.
Leaning
here's C. Okay, so A, he knocked out the vanilla midget, is the way you put it for Vince McMahon. B would be like you said, these constant rumblings and going to India and their multi-billion, Indian branch, and then also see injury to Rusev. And the rumor is Rusev was poised for the big push. Like, okay, we're going to move you to SmackDown, get you right into contention for the title. And then he got hurt. So he's moved to SmackDown, but he can't work.
Kevin Sullivan situation happens.
We'll go there in a second.
I've been thinking about that.
So, and then they shoehorn gender into it. Like, okay, let's still go with the foreigner. Let's do, you know what I mean? Let's go with something simple.
Dude, gender would be a good champion because everyone would boo the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's what the reaction that's you what want.
They want, and then he can hopefully prove himself. I don't have any problem.
Phenomenal matches, is like, what I'm saying.
Yeah, the internet has hated this, and a lot of people have.
What the crowd would do.
Like you're looking at Randy Orton versus Jinder, because that's another thing is they have completely stopped any mention of Bray and Randy being a title match.
Yeah,
completely stopped any mention of it being
so
a title match.
Making me think that
I think they're just going to make it a non-title match, like, and if they haven't already, and it's just going to be non-title Randy and Bray, which is stupid. Why are we even having the match? Like, that's another thing that happened. Like, Jinder won, and then instead of getting to have a good face-off with fucking Randy,
awkward moment, and then Bray.
And then Bray comes on the screen, and what's Jinder do? Just go, okay, I'm leaving later, guys.
Yeah, it was an awkward moment because he's cutting a promo towards
Jinder first. If Bray would have showed up and I'm in the ring, I'm attacking you. I'm not gingerly leaving.
Yeah,
fuck you. You just came out and got my face. I'm beating you down.
I'm beating you during the Bray promotion.
Yeah,
and when the lights come on, you're on the ground, fucked up, and I'm standing over
you.
You're
on my show fighting me now. Exactly. You know what I mean?
During the Bray promo, that's when Jinder beat his ass, and when the lights come back on, Randy's on the ground and Jinder's above him.
And how fucking badass would Jinder have looked? How much would he have been booed instead of not cared about?
See, those are things I think about. That's why I thought that they missed with that a little bit, because I thought the same thing. Like,
that was a miss.
Why Bray just ruined it and Jinder got out of the ring? Why didn't Jinder attack
Jinder
him?
Just
and he's supposed to be a heel.
Yeah.
New number one contender, boom, attack Orton during the promo.
I am excited for Kevin Owens, AJ. I think Kevin
that's
Owens,
gonna be a great
I think
match.
Kevin Owens promo was one of the only highlights
the face
of the
of
show.
America.
And yeah, so he's the face of America, Jinder's
the
American
Open
dream
challenge.
And then he closed the promo by speaking in French, you know what I mean, and just to piss everybody off, and that was cool. So, yeah, Kevin Owens' mic work's been just ridiculous.
He's definitely probably learned a lot from Jericho over his time of being with him and probably on the road together,
and
I think. Probably taught him a lot.
What I like is, he did the pseudo-comedy kind of cool heel thing, and, you know,
now he's
the
doing
comedy's
like the serious,
gone.
Like,
yeah.
I'm serious.
Comedy's
here,
been gone
cool.
for a couple months since him and Jericho split up, and, yeah, it's a hit. I like it. Anything else on SmackDown?
Besides the Baron Corbin
Naomi,
AJ Styles match.
Naomi and Charlotte had an okay match. I just think it's fucking bullshit. Why does Charlotte have to beat the champion? Why does the champion have to lose for the title match? Why can't she beat? Why can't contenders wrestle? And okay, if you want to be number one contender, you got to fucking beat me to become number one contender, or what? Why can't we? Or you got to beat? Or even if Shane was like, you got to beat the current number one contender, like, don't make them beat the fucking champion.
Yeah,
that's
NXT deal.
They
think about it.
They do it on all the shows all the time. That's how they do all of them. That's how Randy got his title shot because of the Royal Rumble, but. A bunch of them. I can't. It's just the way they do it. They're always like, you want to be number one contender for the tag title. You got to beat the tag champs, the New Day, tonight. How many times did New Day lose that match and then the pay per view would come and then they'd win and keep the title? Like, that was one of the ways they kept the title for so long, was they lost all the fucking time to everybody on Raw. know what I mean? And so that they could become number one contenders. I hate that aspect in wrestling, and WWE does it all the time. Anything else from the week you want to hit before we take a break?
I don't know. You want to talk about Kurt Hawkins? How he's the main event maker now?
You
see that?
No, not particularly. Was it on Twitter? Or
no, it was Carl Hawkins versus Finn Balor.
Yeah, and Finn Balor came out.
So you didn't see the promo we cut before?
And Finn Balor took no bumps, basically. I saw his promo, but I guess I just didn't care what he was saying.
Is the Star Factory now.
Okay. So people beat him and then
Big Show
stars.
Beat him, and now he main evented that role.
Oh, okay.
So Finn Balor just beat him. So we might expect Finn Balor to be the main event.
Start the main
event
next week.
That was his whole thing. I was thinking, poor Kurt Hawkins is going to miss a lot.
You know what? I got a good miss from Raw that I want to say. During it's Enzo against it's Enzo and Big Cass against fucking Anderson and Gallows.
I wrote nothing down because
Anderson's finish on this match was like it just
looked
dangerous. Yeah, like okay, so he had him on his shoulders and then he just tossed Enzo towards the rope so that he hit the rope split legged at his shins, which would hopefully immediately cause you to spring and flip is the hope. But holy shit, awkward. That could be dangerous, dude.
Yeah.
He landed fine, but the way it all looked,
the momentum, it could,
was like,
dangerous.
Yeah, dude, if you don't fucking hit that right, you're going face first, you're going neck down.
You're getting
you're
Finn
going,
Ballard.
Yeah.
But without the forearm.
And I just like, for how careful, Anderson and Gallows are, I just was like, that's kind of a non-needed move. Like somebody like me looks at it and goes, holy shit, that's dangerous.
I looked at that and was like, damn.
I was about to say, casual fan.
That was my Ron Simmons damn voice when I seen it too. I was like, damn.
Casual fan would just be like, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think they would understand the like danger that comes from not being able to control your body.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean?
He's kind of free-falling when you think
about
it. Yeah,
Enzo
drops him on the rope.
That's the thing. That's the way I look at it. Enzo's giving himself up for Anderson to take care of him, and at that point, there's no way to like take care of you.
And there's only one Jeff Hardy in wrestling.
I'm not sending
back in
you
WWE.
I'm not sending you towards your back. I'm not sending you somewhere you can see. I'm literally just
blindly tossing
you, hoping your legs bounce enough that you get enough spring to flip over to your back. Yeah, it was dangerous.
And another quick hit is Alexa Bliss is going to be facing Bayley next week on Raw, or is that going to be at Payback?
I'm not sure.
They never 100% stated if that was going to be on Raw this Monday or.
Yeah, I just know that she, Nia Jax was pretty much the star of that match, but Alexa snuck it. Well, Nia Jax and Mickey, pretty much. I think Mickey's bell bottoms kind of look weird now.
It's not the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, it's not.
You want to earn skinny
jeans? It's not the mid-2000s either. Like, it's
leggings.
Not. It's not the mid-2000s.
You want her back in her mini skirt?
She wore that in the mid-2000s, and it was dumb. Like, I mean, not dumb, but I feel like it fit a little better than 2007. It kind of. That style was all right. We're in 2017 now.
And the flares are gone.
I mean, and I don't know. Maybe I got used to the hardcore country fucking Mickey James from TNA. Hardcore country.
No,
you want to take a break and then we'll come back and we'll do.
Sounds good.
We'll do the fucking
review?
Saturday night's main event from 1992, February 8th.
Hardcore country. Hey, hey, can't you see?
I'm a rockin' Southern girl, running wild and.
Hi out there in lousy weather media network land. Do you hate stuff?
I hate stuff.
No, you hate stuff. I'm trying to figure out if the listeners out there.
Do you hate stuff? You listening right now, do you hate stuff? There's got to be something you hate.
Well, some of those things might match up with some of the things we talk about on Let the Hate Flow Through You, a podcast done by me, Jeremy Shear, and El Hordano Diablo.
That's me.
Yeah, he's late on the cues, but he's a firebrand.
But quick on the brews.
Quick on, he is. He's got a drinking problem, and I hate it.
And Jeremy hates it.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate your drinking problem.
That's fine.
I hate your fat belly.
You love that.
Okay, that's true. I do love his fat belly.
But he hates me.
We'll get into that on Let the Hate Flow Through You, which we release every Monday.
Because everybody hates Mondays.
I really fucking hate you.
I hate you too.
Goddamn Garfield-ass motherfucker.
I hate recording commercials. I'm done.
What's your problem?
You're not coming in with the electric set.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. Let me try. I'll find it here.
I mean, it's only on the network.
It is funny. You were like, get it ready, and I was like...
I'll have it ready.
Yeah, I was like, sure. I don't know. I don't even know if I have an electric zap, though. I'll check. Here.
You can get it from the fucking network.
Yeah, the thing. I had to look all that shit up. I don't feel like doing all that.
It's a sign-in and...
God damn, dude. What the fuck?
Continue
this,
watching.
What is this plugged into that I can't drag the cord to me?
It's not plugged on nothing. It's, you gotta lift up a stool.
It was on an extendo clip.
No, it was wrapped around the chair. So you can...
The extendo.
Yeah, so you can grab it.
Okay. What? There you go. Does that make you happy, Derek?
You gotta press it multiple times. You gotta like press and hold.
I can't. It only goes once. Sorry.
Sad. It's supposed to go.
Oh, that's funny. So, if you're not knowing what we're talking about, but you should. Roddy Piper electrocutes the Mountie God damn it, the Mountie electrocutes Roddy Piper. Damn, we are very bad at these reviews already. It's the first one. Anyway. The Mountie, electrocutes.
Shocks. Piper originally, Piper with who a does taser. Not sell.
So anyway, we're doing Saturday Night's Main Event. This was overwhelmingly voted upon because people said it was classic event, legendary. Chris Clem tweeted me that it was like Roddy Piper's first title win, which is not true. Roddy Piper was already champion. That was a spike fact from Chris Clem. Maybe I read the tweet wrong, but I feel like he was like, I want you to hear you guys talk about that because that's Piper's first title win. It's historic. So I went into it watching it expecting Piper to be a title win, and Piper came out with a title. And I was like, well, maybe he stole it.
maybe
he R-truthed the Intercontinental title.
And he started... singing.
Saying what's up, and he would steal it and shit. But anyway... Yeah, so he was already champion. I didn't look up when he was champ or why he was champion, but it was. So let's go ahead and I want to get kind of in the mood about 1992 before we get too far into this show.
Women were wearing sweats.
Well,
long weird.
You're
weird.
Think about this.
Patterns.
What would you say was the number one song in the country February 8th, 1992? You know what I mean?
The fuck I know.
Now think about some 1992 songs.
I wasn't listening to your typical 1992 songs in 92.
I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred peaks at number one on this day in 1992.
You see what I'm saying? I was listening to like Iron Maiden and Megadeth.
And the 16th Winter Olympic Games open up in France that day. So historic day. Right Said Fred. I'm Too Sexy for My Cat.
I'm going to punch you.
Okay, so you're like, I'm too going to punch you, sexy. So anyway, leading up to this, on the January 25th, 1992 episode of Superstars, it was announced by Jack Tunney that Ric Flair, his challenger for the title, because he had won it at the Royal Rumble, and it was vacant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he had just won at the Royal Rumble. They announced that they're going to select
a challenger
out of five contenders at a press conference that was announced
before a Fatal Four Way was ever thought of.
And then you started leading up to, God damn, this is really pissing
me
off.
I'm just glad they didn't have six contenders because they would have six pack challenges fucking back then going on.
So then it was the February 1st. Episode of Superstars that they showed footage from it, which they showed the same footage on this episode of Saturday Night's Main Event. So, but anyway, Jack Tunney had everybody present and he said that Sid Vicious was the contender, but we'll get to that as we get to it down here. Papa Shango appeared for the first time the week prior to this, and you hear him mention Papa Shango one time, too.
And I watched this.
And, yeah, so Papa Shango.
Damn.
And they also, this was the first Saturday Night's Main Event on the Fox Network. Saturday Night's Main Event was longtime NBC property, and ratings had started to go down, and NBC was like, we're not going to take it. And I almost feel like when you watch
did
this show.
Did they do show, that with the XFL too?
NBC? Yeah, basically.
I just wanted to put it in there since you said that.
I feel like this show was almost like they had it in them that they wanted to still do it. But they, you know what I mean? You go to the fourth place network that's only, like, Fox was still a baby at this time. Yeah. Fox had only been around a couple years. They were just starting to get popularity.
They're
with,
not the powerhouse like they are.
Yeah, they were just starting to get popularity with Married with Children, you know what I mean? So Fox was literally a nobody in network television, and
all they had was the Simpsons.
So you're moving from the number one to the number four, you know, and it was a big drop. But so it almost felt like, because this was only 45 minutes too, you know what I mean? It was an hour-long broadcast instead of the hour and a half. It wasn't live. It almost feels like they had checked out. Like, they signed the deal, like, hell yeah, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to do it on Fox. And then by the time they did it on Fox, they were fucking checked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're done.
So this was the first broadcast on Fox. We open up with Bobby Heenan and
Vince McMahon.
And Vince McMahon. And,
classic duel.
And the classic WWF green screen thing that they did pretty much all the way till like about 94, 95. Like, even early Raws in 93 would have this, where it would be them doing an on-camera stand in there, but it was like literally just a fake shot of the arena, you know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? So, not a fake shot, but they just would take a shot of the arena and then broadcast that on a green screen and then have them cut all their stuff in front of that.
Because, like, they weren't definitely not there.
Yeah, so, and this was definitely done in the studio.
Yeah.
You
could tell.
And there was a sign that was like, Bobby Heenan for
president 92,
and then it said, what a rush.
Yeah, like, what fan was thinking Bobby Heenan and Road Warriors at the same time?
That cracked me up. So anyway, the first match was, as we said, the Mountie against Roddy Piper, and this was for the title.
And the Mountie had Jimmy Hart.
And the Mountie was with Jimmy Hart. They opened the match with, like, Jimmy Hart stealing the belt from the referee while the referee was having it and just threw it over to the Mountie.
Yeah, that was funny.
And and then from there, they did like little chase spots and stuff with Jimmy Hart.
Went to a typical Piper match that I noticed probably was kind of like the Goldust match.
I was going to say, with Jimmy Hart out there, it felt so much like classic
wrestling.
Classic Memphis. Like, specifically Memphis, where, like, the guy falls over and his pants split, and then, you know what I mean?
Type, running around.
And then he catch this guy by the foot, and then, you know what I mean? Like, do the little switcheroo and whole little fucking deal. It felt like Jimmy Hart probably had a lot of planning in this, and it's Jimmy Hart
really
and Piper.
Now.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Hart.
So he's like, oh, come on, baby, I'll tell you, little sweet baby, I'll do this, baby, you just keep going along, baby, baby, baby. It's my Jimmy Hart. So anyway.
You have to put the sunglasses on before you can even do the Jimmy Hart.
I almost don't even remember if the taser came. The taser came at the very end of the match.
Towards the end of the match, correct.
So he gets Piper down. He grabs one of those big tasers, and if you want to know what kind of taser I'm talking about like the Scott Hall on Goldberg taser, the one that just like looks like a giant
cattle prod.
Yeah, exactly. Bomb.
But it doesn't look like a cattle prod at all.
And then this was still in the time where
people believe fake
sound effects or some shit, like, because it was bad how piped in and ridiculous the
hopefully the crowd did not hear
the
that
electric,
hopefully
no,
that was
no,
for the people at home
that was only people at home
because how could they have got that through to the crowd? I mean,
you're saying they're not smart enough to mic that stuff into the crowd back then?
Just play it through the PA?
Yeah.
Just like, I was trying to get the sound open, but I fucked up and didn't have it ready.
That's
so anyway, he,
after I said at the very beginning.
Okay, so
it sounded worse than that.
So
that's like a good shock.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. The one they played was like, what? It's like, what the fuck?
It was like somebody dialing on an AM radio looking for a station.
Exactly.
And then the Mountie turns around like, hell yeah, I just fucking tasered this bitch. He ain't
you gotta recall that he did dump water on him to intensify
the shock. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So fucking cheesy.
And then
the no-sell.
Yeah, he stands straight up and fucking hits Mountie with what? I already forget. This is how little I fucking paid attention to this shit. What the fuck did he do? He rolled him up.
He hits the Mountie. He gets the shock stick from him, and then he zaps him himself.
He rolled him. No, he didn't. He rolled him up.
He shocks the Mountie.
Oh, yeah, you're fucking right.
He attacks him, and then
I forgot about that.
He hits him a couple times, and the Mountie...
Piper stood right up, and then fucking, yeah, shocks him the Mountie with the cattle
couple
prod.
Times, and the fucking cattle prod goes in the air, and he catches it, almost misses it, and then he shocks him.
So Piper gets the 1-2-3. It's 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Fucking... And then after the match is when Piper takes off his shirt and he has this shock. You see a shockproof
vest,
bulletproof vest, or shockproof vest.
Looks like he just went to the surf shop.
Surf shop, and then they fucking just and like it just spray
said,
painted
it just said
or
shockproof.
Already said shockproof on it.
Sponsors before they knew they were sponsors.
You know the thing about it though is like. I hear Bret Hart gets credit constantly for this angle in Toronto when he came out the Maple Leafs jersey and Goldberg speared him and Goldberg's fucking dead and he stands up and pulls off the jersey as the metal plate there and then Mick Foley did it in 2006 WrestleMania and he has the barbed wire under the one flannel and they kind of attribute that to Bret Hart and being a Bret Hart thing. This was fucking...
92?
Yeah, 7 years before it, and the same fucking shit.
But it wasn't a move the Mountie used. It was a cattle prod that made a fake noise.
But Piper knew it was coming, had something under
his... I get what you're saying, though.
It's something that everybody attests to Bret Hart in 98, but... Bet you Bret Hart got the fucking idea from 1992 Saturday Night's Main Event with Roddy Piper.
But was like, instead of me getting hit with a spear,
I'm getting hit with a taser.
I'm getting hit with a fake taser.
That's funny. So that's when they start rolling into like the stuff about.
I just kept calling the shock rod Hulk Hogan's dildo rod because it was his main colors.
So then this is when they played that press conference segment I was telling you about before.
Yes.
And I forgot my favorite line. So shockproof. And Roddy gets in the camera. I wrote this down. I don't want to mess this quote up. Roddy gets right in the camera and he says, I don't think so because Roddy don't play that. And fucking Vince McMahon goes, ha ha ha, Roddy don't play it, and neither does homie Roddy. And fucking moved on, and it cracked me up because they're on Fox. Wow. They're trying to get over fucking, and that's like the cross promotion with In Living Color.
Yeah. I got that too.
I was just like, goddamn, like, who fed that line to Vince? Like, I feel like in 1992,
he fed it to himself.
I was about to say, yeah, I feel like in 1992,
he had his own piece mic'd in.
Nowadays, I don't think he could make a fucking referencing anything in the goddamn world. But in 1992, I feel like he was like hip on the game, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I watch Martin. I watch."
He probably still is hip to the game.
Man, I don't know.
He just sucks at booking.
He was like, when he was like, Roddy's like, I don't think so because Roddy don't play it. Roddy don't play it. Neither does homie Roddy. Like, it's so fucking funny.
Yeah, that was the only thing that cracked me up because then I wrote shortly after, damn, wrestling was so cheesy.
And then this is when I picked up my phone.
during the break. Ric Flair and The Undertaker?
But, no, so...
Oh, during the press conference?
Yeah, and then I didn't look up till the thing was over. No,
You said, what, three times?
So the press conference was weird. They have all the guys sitting there, and they have no reason to announce Hulk Hogan as the number one contender. He wasn't the last guy in the ring for fucking Royal Rumble. Like, other than Hulk Hogan being your biggest star of all time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's doing John Cena things before John Cena... came in.
And you're booking for Ric Flair against Hulk Hogan for Mania. And people always say, like, oh, they changed it last minute. And I'm like, I feel like they probably had this planned out that they were going to go with Hogan Sid for a while just because of the way this all went. You know what I mean? So anyway, they announce he's the they announce Hulk Hogan's the number one contender, and fucking they're showing this whole package.
Sid loses his shit,
and it's kind of funny.
Psycho Sid.
It's funny because he's cutting promo, and they have like a WWF microphone in his face, and then they had like three local news affiliate mics in front of him too. I was like, holy shit, they got a little press for this shit. And then I was like, why do I feel bad for these journalists? For this unserious, like, dumb acting bullshit. Like, when Jack Tunney's like, the number one contender is Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's like, yes! Yes, brother! Yes! Like, he was, like, celebrating like a four-year-old. Like, you! Yes, brother! Yes! Oh, all right, dude, Jack, brother! Yes! And he fucking, like, takes off.
He was like your typical cartoon character.
Yeah, and Sid was instantly like... he turned into fucking Vegeta. Like, fucking... So, anyway, he just starts yelling, spitting all over all the...
the psycho moniker.
He basically says that...
At least in my eyes.
He basically says that Hulk Hogan can't beat Ric Flair, but Sid can, so Sid deserves it and all this bullshit.
Goes on a long rant.
It's like, why does Hulk Hogan deserve it? He can't fucking beat him.
See, this is the moment where I kept switching between this and playing NBA 2K17.
So then they're going to have Sid and Hogan against Ric Flair and The Undertaker. And the reason why they're doing this is because Sid offered a sincere apology to Hogan for what he said at that press conference. And they like
to make it up. Me and you.
I was about to say that they shoehorn that fucking shit in there. Like they were like, well, we need a big blow off tag match real quick. Okay, well, let's just say you apologize. So you're going to pretend to be friends for one match to have a big argument
to
again.
Start
like,
your big build.
It's just dumb. This match was dumb too. I don't even, like. This is when I was like really nostalgic, and
I was shocked that this match had more time than the Piper and Mountie match.
I was nostalgic and having fun when Piper and Mountie were wrestling. When this shit was going, I was like.
Only thing I was glad to see was Ric Flair looking good.
It's funny because like. That would have been the stuff I wanted to watch when I was 5 years old, though. Like, when I was in the age of when that was actually happening.
You were...
Because of how much of a kid I was. Those were the money matches to me. It was the Hulk Hogan and fucking Sid and Rick and Undertaker.
Dude, after I watched this match, you know what I wrote down? I fucking still hate Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Hogan can have the Hogan match, but Hogan matches aren't good.
I mean, the match was entertaining, but I still fucking hate Hulk
I didn't
Hogan.
Think it was entertaining at all.
I like watching Hulk Hogan, like, pretty much get beat down. That was about it. The only entertaining shit about it was the disqualification at the end. But the thing that really pissed me off is, okay, so, and I'm watching it on the network, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Justice is getting beat down, and Hogan gets in the ring and starts attacking everyone. They go
Weird you said Justice. I was like, who the fuck is that? Yeah, I know. It took me a minute to click, but it was just, I was like,
because we're used to calling him Psycho Sid.
But that's what he was called there. So anyway, go on.
So Hogan gets in the ring and starts taking control because Sid Justice in that is getting, I think he's in the ring with The Undertaker at this time, whatnot. And they announce that they're going to commercial break, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When they come back to commercial, Hulk Hogan's still in the fucking ring and the guys are still on the fucking outside. The ref never did a five count, but because Hogan got double teamed for 5 seconds. they got a double count. Think about that.
I feel like I just didn't pay enough attention to
like
it.
That shit. I was just sitting there going,
"Holy fuck, this is
that shit." Really pissed me off.
I was like pulling my eyes out. I'm trying to fucking figure out, like, because Beefcake jumped in there and shit too. I'm like, I'm sitting there literally going, what the fuck is happening?
When Sid left the ring,
run this by
like,
me one more time. So they threw him out, and then Undertaker, what the fuck? Undertaker starts choking him.
While Ric Flair's in the ring, and I think kicking him or some shit. And they disqualify
him.
That's
when Hulk hawks up, and then fucking they double whip him.
All right.
Yeah. And Sid fucking refuses the tag.
Yeah, he refused the tag.
Okay, so Sid
and
refuses the tag, leaves him, and then
he told a bitch out of the ring that he was going to smack the show.
Yeah,
which
Beefcake goes to stop him and threatens to, like, yeah, like you said, slap the fucking shit out of him. And so they're about to face off. It was wild. It is hard to fucking figure it out. And then Flair
the
and...
thing that confused me is how the fuck Hulk Hogan be in the ring for a fucking a damn commercial break and not even get a five count. But the moment
you
get the two guys...
The reason why... The reason
don't
why there was
don't
the
justify his reason why he can be through a goddamn commercial without a five count with him and
the
Sid Justice both in
the
ring.
The disqualification came
okay,
when,
they clearly was double-teaming The Undertaker at one point and no
Rick,
five count.
Rick
commercial.
Threw, listen to me.
Hold on, commercial. No five count. That's all I'm saying. Double team, Undertaker,
Rick,
Justers, five count.
Yeah, but that's
no
not
five
the,
count.
That's not the finish.
It's because
Rick,
he's a babyface, Sean, and it's
Rick
Hulk Hogan.
It's
Hulk Hogan. It's John Cena Politics Part 1, originally. He learned from Hulk Hogan.
Flair threw the referee over the top rope. That's the disqualification.
Still, Sean. Hulk Hogan was in the ring, not even the legal man, for a goddamn commercial break. That's more than a five count.
Let's say...
just rewatch it. You'll see what I'm saying. Like
Undertaker was the weak link. It was kind of fun. Undertaker was
to watch
the,
on the weak
he
link?
Was the Jinder Mahal of this match. Undertaker was, dude. It was kind of awesome. Like, I'm like, look at Undertaker, like, being bad. Like, this is awesome.
Thank God he got better.
Like, yeah. This is, like, 5 years in the business period for Taker, maybe, by this point. And,
it's 91.
And his character...
It's his, like, second year.
And his character was purposefully slow and, you know what I mean, and drawn out and bad that way. But, yeah. So, that's when they fucking go backstage with Sid. And Sid says that he has no friends in the business. He should be number one contender. Everything he's pretty much
pissed because Jack Tunney named Hogan the number one contender.
He cuts the same promo. And then he says that, like, that Hogan, like, turned on their friendship or betrayed him or some shit like that. It was like they set up an angle before. It was Monday Night Raw today. They set up an angle before a match and then set up and then fucking closed the angle right after it instead of giving us 3 weeks of television. You know what I mean? Like, I was literally.
Start a feud, end a feud.
It did
one
feel,
taping.
Yeah, it did feel like I was in the middle of fucking Monday Night Raw from today. It's not that much different from this 1992 episode to what we watched today. Not that fucking different. they go to commercial. Okerlund talks with Hogan and Brutus. Hogan said he was a liar and that Sid's the one that actually turned his back on him.
The only thing I got out of that was, why does Hogan sleep with Brutus in the same hospital bed?
Thank God for Brutus Beefcake, brother, he said.
that was my only thing I wondered.
Beefcake starts talking about his eye accident and how Hogan was there when he woke up in the hospital.
Sleeping in the bed with him. Like, how weird would that be? Yeah. That's like me waking up next to you in the same bed in the hospital. I mean, think about it.
And then Hogan dedicates his title match to Beefcake. Like, I'm going to win the title for you, brother.
Just think of his name now, Beefcake. Then the Booty Man.
He was the Beefcake, dude. He was a Beefcake. So, anyway, yeah, he had the Zodiac. He had so many fucking stupid-ass names.
Worst gimmick names ever.
Ed Leslie or whatever his name is. He fucking used to be gimmick.
The Disciple.
He was gimmick fucking Hogan's brother. Originally, they were the Boulder Brothers back in fucking Memphis in the 70s or Florida in the 70s. Florida in the 70s.
Yeah, and everyone believed that they were wrestlers.
Terry and Ed Boulder. So
that's far from the truth. They looked nothing alike.
Anyway, yikes, this is when they kept going. I didn't fucking understand this. It was supposed to be Legion of Doom against the Beverly Brothers.
But something happened to them. This is my whole bathroom.
And they don't mention why or anything.
I went to the bathroom, and by the time I came out, all I seen was Jim Duggan and
the match is
Slaughter winning.
The match
is
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
I wasn't in the bathroom that long, was I?
Everybody's already in the ring, no entrances. This is when Slaughter tried to turn back babyface from the WrestleMania 7 run, where he tried to be like, I found the errors of my ways. I want to be American again. And Hacksaw was
just
like,
so happened being
Hacksaw
American.
Was like, oh, brother, I appreciate you. I'll bring you back on. You know what I mean?
And
like,
try and make you
American again. So that's why
I mean,
Slaughter's
they're fucking American to begin with. Look at the ring ropes.
But what the fuck happened with, like, because they did SummerSlam 92 at Wembley, LOD did. So they're there for another fucking year. You know what I mean?
What happened?
What happened for this show that they couldn't make it?
Was Hawk on one of his benders?
You know, and this would have been something taped prior to it airing, too. I didn't look at the taping date for it, but they would have taped it in January or whatever, because the way WWF taping schedule was, and it wasn't live like the older main events were. So
speaking of LOD, quick little sidebar. His kid just retired from the NFL.
Yeah, last week.
How long do you think before he'll be in the WWE?
Possibly? WWE's already, they've already had talks.
Yeah,
you
I
know they have.
That's what I'm saying.
They already have
How
talks.
How long do you
and,
think before he'll be on either Raw or SmackDown?
And he's interested, but at the same time, like, that doesn't mean he's going to be a good worker.
No, I'm not saying he is, but think about it. How long do you think he possibly could be on Raw or SmackDown?
From today or from the day he trains,
The day he trains, when he
if
trains.
If he ever starts training,
how quick will they
like,
push
let's
him?
Bring him into the Performance Center and start training. He's on the main roster within a year.
A year? I was
within
thinking about,
a year.
I was thinking the same
Six
thing.
6 months in the facility, fucking a
Skip
couple matches.
NXT.
Maybe a couple matches on NXT.
And straight, yep, I was thinking the same thing.
Or you do the, you know, main roster, a couple matches first, and then go down to NXT. But that would still be a debut on the main roster.
Correct.
So, yeah, I would put it within a year
of him
starting to train.
Because we were talking about LOD.
So, yeah, I still don't know why they're not in the match. You have the Beverly Brothers, who they were Smoky
Hometown.
Mountain tag team, too, at the same time. So, they fucking, that was like one of Jim Cornette's, like, ends at the time. I want to say Jim Cornette was like, he was pretty close to starting work with the WWE, like showing up on TV and being a manager within about a year from here, I want to say. So like they were already swapping talent and things like that between Smoky Mountain and WWF. But anyway, so Duggan basically gets a clothesline.
I mean, you'd have to explain this match. Like I said, this was bathroom break. And that's all I wrote down, bathroom break.
The genius is out there with the Beverly Brothers.
Really?
Yeah. They use his scroll, basically, to whip the dude. And Slaughter, like, hits him with the scroll, and he goes into the fucking Duggan clothesline. And Duggan gets the win. 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Enough for a bathroom break, I guess.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. And then they went straight into the Randy Savage. They didn't mention anything about LOD. They weren't even like, what a great contest. Can't wait to see what these guys are doing.
Jake Roberts.
They were just like, it was just Vince McMahon was like, hey, oh, ha, 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 boom, fucking video package. It was quick. And I think that might have to do with it being the 45-minute time instead of the 90-minute time. You know what I mean? You're fucking like, I've said shoehorn a lot. That's the phrase of the day for this episode. Shoehorn. You're shoehorning a lot in. You know what I mean? So do you remember this build like when you were young? Like I remember this shit like it was. Yeah, I still hear
the macho Jake Roberts.
I hear that fucking voice like, I hope that snake's been devenomized. I hear that. Like, still to this fucking
dude,
day.
Dude, I remember the whole wedding and all that shit, dude. Yeah.
The wedding followed this. Yeah. The wedding followed this by, 7 months? Yeah. That September or whatever.
Yeah, I followed the whole
August for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So that's basically what kind of came out of this was, this was like smack dab in the middle.
Yeah.
Because that, what was it, Mania the year prior, Elizabeth reunited with Randy.
Because he finally when he was no longer the Macho King, right?
He got beat by Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 7.
And now he's no longer Macho King, correct?
And Sherry was, like, kicking him and beating him up. And
Elizabeth comes out running
Elizabeth came out. Yeah, and then, I think he just went back to just Macho Man, Randy Savage. I don't
because he was Macho King prior.
Yeah. So this was basically
the best match on the entire card.
Yeah.
To say it.
The buildup from it came from Robert slapping Miss Elizabeth at this Tuesday in Texas pay-per-view. Yeah. And
never heard of before.
What, slapping this Tuesday? Slapping her. Yeah. He
that was
really,
a no-no.
Yeah. And the snake attack was cool.
But my thing is, they were in Texas, though. I thought it was okay in 92 to smack a bitch.
Bitch in Texas?
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean,
that's the only thing that, like, didn't, like, I was baffled. It was 92 and they're in Texas. I thought it was okay to smack a bitch.
Who's knocking at the door? Somebody's knocking at one of the doors. Let me pause this.
They're in Texas and they're smacking bitches. Like, I thought it was all right in 92.
It's true. So Jake Roberts slapped Miss Elizabeth and he had to get revenge, basically.
I'm just saying, I thought it was okay. I thought people weren't so upset about it.
Well,
I mean, it was 92 in Texas, dude. You got to think how young I am.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
to
myself, like, this is 92 in Texas.
Yeah, 90 in Texas, he didn't get heat. But that doesn't mean he didn't get heat from Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, if somebody slapped your girlfriend, I might be spectating going, damn, like watching it on WorldStar and shit.
Yeah.
But you'd be mad about it.
I'd be mad about it, but I don't know why the fans were mad about it because it was 92 in Texas. That was my whole thing. I understand Macho being
you couldn't beat mad. Women in the 90s either, dude.
No.
You can't beat...
They were in Texas. That's what I was assuming. That's all I'm saying. It was 92 in Texas.
Even though...
I thought it was all right.
Even though... What was that guy's name? The Honeymooners? Jackie Gleason or whatever?
Yeah.
Even though he always threatened to the moon Alice, you never fucking saw him do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I just thought it was funny because of the reaction, because I instantly was like, they're in Texas. Like, I thought it was all right.
So anyway, what'd you think of this match, Derek?
I told you it was the best match on the card.
And, Did you hear the thunk sound effects they put in there? Like the little thud when he tossed him on the floor head first.
Yes, I noticed that.
So he tosses him over the corner when he flips, and then they put in like a sound effect.
And that's not how it sounds. Like
the show is full of sound effects.
Yes.
They gave us electricity earlier. And they gave us thuds on this. I was
like at 92 as a child, I was very pleased. At 32,
It doesn't hold up well.
It does not hold up. One match holds up.
It was
that was by far the best match.
It was 5 minutes and it was quick. They just basically
ran around
and slugged each other.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was a brawl. It should have been called a street fight.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Savage hits him with the backdrop over the top rope, and then jumps and hits
elbow drop.
Hits the double axe handle. Yeah. And then hits the elbow drop.
I'm still shocked that they gave Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker, and Sid Justice more time than this match or the Intercontinental.
We've said it. The phrase of the night tonight, J.M.R. Moore's in the room. The phrase of the night tonight, J.M.R., is shoehorn. Because this is a 45-minute program that they just shoehorned shit into. They literally
clusterfuck.
Yeah, they just like would set stuff up, have it happen, and then have it end all in one for no reason with nothing going on. And yeah, they literally shoehorned like 2 minute matches for no reason and a 5 minute fucking slap fest.
I would have been pissed if I went to this show.
I wish they would have done more with these two over time, man. This was fun. Like
with Jake Roberts.
Yeah, their matches they didn't last very long.
Yeah,
this angle went on forever, but
they had guys like Hulk Hogan in the back going, "Brother, I need
brother, that. Dude, Jack.
I need that extra minute,
brother, dude.
I got one extra leg drop in me tonight,
brother, dude, Jack." So coming out of this though, Derek, we watched the show, and you can understand why there was only one more for 15 years. They did one more Saturday night's main event in November that year, and then never did another
one
for 15
years. I'm just shocked that
it
took one wrestler like John Cena that long to do what Hulk Hogan did.
What?
Control the entire back room. Like, brother, this is my time. I'm for the title, not you, Sid Justice.
The whole thing
That's what I'm talking about. Like, the whole thing, like... Not until John Cena.
Well, then Hulk Hogan did it the following year. He got to do it one more time.
And he pretty much does what John Cena does. Leaves, come back, like, title run.
Yeah, when Bret Hart fucking loses to Yoko, and then they shoehorn a Hulk Hogan run in, and he's like, "Brother, dude, Jack, give me a title shot right now if you a real man, brother, dude." And Yokozuna was like, "Let's do it."
Done.
And then, yeah, Lost. He hits the boot and wins. Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
And doesn't John Cena do the same exact thing, except for minus the leg drop? He has the shuffle drop.
And John Cena shit's way fucking better than Hulk Hogan nowadays, though. Like, John Cena 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12.
Holds up to that match.
His whole career up until, like, a year ago, yeah.
That's funny.
Shoehorned, man. That was the phrase of this fucking show.
I like it.
We'll keep going from here. This was fun. I'll come up with another Twitter poll tonight. We'll put it out. We'll get some votes, and we'll review that show off votes like we did for this episode.
Sounds good.
And, hopefully we get something that's not so shoehorned.
Yeah.
What does shoehorning even mean?
Whatever you're talking about today.
Like, you widen a foot, like a shoe, by putting a shoehorn in it.
Yeah.
So you're widening things by shoehorning into it. Okay. I'm with that.
That's what they did.
I'm fucking tired today, J.M.R. I'm wore out, man. But this was fun. Well,
the first time you've been sluggish. Normally you're like 12 beers deep.
Yeah, no.
You're zero deep.
I might have to go get alcohol now. I was fucking... So anyway, Lousy Wrestling Podcast. This was episode number 40.
40.
We did Saturday Night's Main Event 1992. Well, I'll come up with a couple other things. We'll put it on the poll topics on Twitter, and we'll see what we review next week. This was fun. We'll keep doing it like this.
As long as it's another non sound effect shoehorn week.
And Zagiri, we're out.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.